Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, Josh.
Since the show always opens with welcome to violence, we should actually kill somebody off the top of the show once just to see what happens.
Or at least
be violent.
Or at least, you know, even if we don't kill somebody, we should at least maim someone.
Listener, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought of something the other day. I was playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the first time in a few years. The part where you're in the library and fighting the possessed books, I love to fight literature. Fighting literature is just awesome. Just the idea of fighting literature.
So we've survived another year. December
ostensibly.
December 21st has come and gone, and we're okay.
You actually doubted that we would be? Oh, wait, before we get into this, we got to do the Adam and Eve promo.
I'm sorry.
Don't forget our sponsor.
Wait a minute. Here, we'll do it this way. So December 21st has come and gone, and we've all survived, and to tell you the truth, I feel like celebrating. I feel like sticking my dick into something made of silicon and cyber skin. Where could I find it?
AdamandEve.com is where you could get such an object.
Yay.
And you, if you go there and use the promo code STATIC, you would also get 50% off of said object.
Really?
They would also ship it to you for free if you are in the United States.
You mean I would get free shipping in the United States, which I just happen to be?
They would also give you not one, not two, not four, but three free DVDs. And they would also include a mystery gift. So mysterious, it might go up your butt. It might be something for you to stick your dick in. It might be something that numbs you. No one knows.
Could be a good New Year's gift for somebody, I guess, then at that point.
Hey, we survived, gift. Now let's fuck.
We survived. Let me cram this inside you.
You need a plastic phallus in your anus.
God, why is there no Lost Aesthetic fan fiction with stuff like this? So it started like a regular show with the Adam and Eve promo got out of control. The next thing you know, poik was heard.
Poik?
Poik.
Poik?
Poik.
Sure. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about the end of this shitty year. And I'm not saying this year is any shittier than any other year, but...
To tell you the truth, this year was better for me than most.
On a personal level? Well,
just on a personal level. This whole, I don't know, I had about a decade there from 2000 to 2010. Actually, the highlights during that decade. Yeah, I got married. That was a happy thing. Pretty much ends there.
Fair enough. Well, what about 2012? What have you accomplished that you're proud of?
What have I accomplished that I'm proud of? Let's see. Well, we started another pagan podcast.
Are you a year into that yet?
Maybe we did start that in 2011, but nonetheless, I'm proud of that show. It's going strong. We've got, you know, nowhere near the listener base that Lost in the Static has or anything, but pretty active listeners on the Facebook group, and I've answered a lot of questions.
But you're also pitching to a slightly narrower audience.
A much narrower audience. So I'm definitely not going to gripe about that in any way, shape, or form. I think this year too. This is the first year in a long while when I've really had. I've been free of a coven. I've been free of a spiritual group that I've kind of had to conform to.
You're
in the past.
Wolf.
Well, no, it's been nice. It's given me the freedom and the ability just to kind of go, okay, this stuff that I supposedly held all, I was acting. I was getting nothing out of it. And, you know, now I'm basically an atheist. And this is the first year where I've had the freedom to say that. And it's nice. It's real nice. I don't have to put on any masks. So I'm proud of that one. I'm proud of another pagan podcast keeping going. I've kept my head above water this year, which has been difficult for both of us, frankly.
Yeah, it has. This year, I've accomplished a lot with my three shows. I'm currently making a pilot for Sirius, so hopefully I'll get a show on Sirius relatively soon.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
I've got the book coming out early next year.
Congratulations.
And I've come to a realization that all these people that hate me, I don't fucking care.
You know what? They may hate you, but they're paying.
I revel in it now.
I was going to say they're paying attention to what you say.
And I also revel in this shit now.
There you go.
Because I'll admit, at first, the faggot Josh stuff did irk me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at first, that did irk me.
We've had that discussion.
And then I realized that the people that are doing this are just scared little children acting out their own insecurities, or the fact that they're mad that I accomplished more in 2 years than they have in their entire lives. So I revel in the fact that hey, trolls, I'm in your heads. And there the fact go. That you people can't get me out means I win again.
There you go. I got a comment not too long ago. I think it may have been a couple of months ago at this point, but nonetheless, somebody, you remember we were talking about the faggot Josh meme.
Yeah.
And that photo of you flipping
off the
camera.
You were really irked that no Scott memes?
I wasn't irked. I put up the why you
know
guy.
Oh, come on. That post came off as butthurt.
I know it came off that way, but I didn't mean it to, frankly, because I'm not. But, I put up the why you know guy, why you know make Scott memes. And somebody emailed me privately, and he's like, dude, you have to understand that in order to make a meme, you have to make a statement. And the truth is, you're the best straight man in the business, so we really can't say much about you. You're reasonable. You're speaking for us. That's why there are no memes about you. And
I'm the crazy one, and
I'm the straight man.
Would you say you're my handler then?
I don't know if I'm your handler. And with me being openly bisexual on the show, I'm not sure if I want to be known as Josh's handler.
In the esoteric sense.
It's kind of weird being known as the bisexual straight man.
No, that is what's called irony. That's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron like President Bush.
But no, you mentioned your book, and we haven't really promoted that on the show very much. Why don't you tell me about it?
I don't have a hard release date yet. We're still working on some of the legal stuff.
Right.
I would like to try and license some of the photos I used and things, but it's basically going to be not just a reprint of my Sanity is Razor Thin column on Geek Juice Media. It is going to have new introductions by myself and Alex Jowski. It's going to have a foreword by Hart Fisher. It is going to have new exclusive articles, because there are a few articles I can't reprint because they're so, like the poster black ones. We're never going to get the rights to all those movie posters.
Right.
So I'm replacing those with all new articles.
Okay.
They'll have a new introduction by me. And it'll be interesting, since I'm more of a physical media kind of guy, to actually have a book out there, a physical book
for
people
to
purchase.
You even asked me to chip in on the extra writing for the 90s article.
Yeah, for the introduction on that, I'll be asking you about your recollections and of like when we wrote it and if anything's changed since
Sure, sure.
And the book is going to be called, and the publisher actually really likes this title. I thought the title would frighten them away. It's "I'm Right, You're Wrong, and Here's Why Sanity is Razor Thin." I think that's a eye-catching title.
Yes. You're very good at coming up with really long titles for things.
Hey.
But that's okay.
But if it works.
Yeah.
And so, like the introduction will explain why you should buy a book that you can read most of for free online anyway. And there are good reasons. God damn it.
And there are. In the extra added content, this is to put it in DVD terms, this is your print articles with bonus contents.
Yes.
Because to tell you the truth, all the movies that are out there, the only reason I buy the DVDs anymore is if I want the bonus content.
Really? You don't just buy a movie for the movie anymore?
Very rarely. There's a few that I will buy for the movie that I really stand behind. Ones that came out this year.
I don't think I bought a new movie this year.
I'm trying to think. Well, there's one that...
I mean, I bought new releases of old movies.
I know Dawn wants to get her hands on the...
Yes?
DreamWorks SKG, the Christmas one they did with Santa Claus and Jack Frost and the little elves and...
Rise of the Guardians?
Right, yeah, Rise of the Guardians. I know Dawn wants to get that one, but... Yeah, this year in movies, I can't really think of one that really stands out.
Well, it won't be this year, but I'll be buying Dread, but that doesn't come out till January, right. So that'll be in 2013.
Right, and yeah, I was going to say 2013 looks promising. I mean, The Hobbit. I know you're not big on that, but fuck you, I am, and I own the extended versions of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I'll probably go
more walking.
Why not?
Hey, look, more walking. But, you know, so what it comes down to, I've got the book coming out. All three shows are doing incredibly well. And things are going really, really good. Once I get some of my financial issues out of the way, the pilot for American Horrors will be coming out.
Yep.
So things are really starting to turn around.
Yeah.
And this year has really been a focal point of that. That's where everything's kind of coalesced.
And I'm actually quite proud too. I want to say thank you for reserving that seat on your coattails for me.
Hey, if I ever do make it big, all my friends come with me.
I know. I appreciate it.
I absolutely want you guys to be the hangers-on that Kevin Smith has all around him that think they're famous for who they are.
I'm famous because I know Kevin Smith.
We're famous because we went to high school with Kevin Smith. God, those guys piss me off. That Comic Book Men show is embarrassingly fucking bad.
You know, I finally fired it up. They have it on Netflix.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? I mean,
I fired it up and I was...
Comic Book Guy is less of a caricature than these assholes in that show.
I got bored. I know it's and that's the worst thing I can ever say about a show is I got bored. I fell asleep.
Well, and see, my issue is, it's the same thing, and you and I disagree on this, like with Big Bang Theory, how I think that's blackface for nerds.
Right.
This is a minstrel show for what comic book fans are. This is the every single of the worst aspects of what the popular culture thinks a comic book fan is exemplified and completely played up on that show. These are some of the worst human beings I've ever seen on a reality show, and they are representing comic book culture. They are also, okay, all four of the guys on that show are all repressed homosexuals, as far as I'm concerned. Not 2 minutes goes by without one of them calling the other one a fag, gay, making a gay joke, finding a gay reference in a comic book, or having something to do with gay. These are the most repressed homosexuals I have ever seen.
Well, they're also from New Jersey.
But I'm just saying, not a single episode goes by without a dozen references to you're gay, or you like taking hot dogs down the throat, or you know, men getting married and all. It's like, dude, you are obsessed with gay.
And you have to
you're gay, okay? Admit it.
No, you also have to understand this is also a show filmed in New Jersey. And I've been out to New Jersey, and for the most part, all of the guys in that state, I don't know why it's always been an insult, and it's always been an obsession, and I don't know why about that state, but that's the way it is.
Well,
I mean, this is the home of Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Well, and then you also had, since we're talking about TV in 2012, The Walking Dead did something previously unthought of.
They came back from a terrible season, for one thing.
No, because that's happened before.
I'm sure that's happened before, but I didn't expect it to happen with Walking
Dead.
Well,
first of all, season 3 has been fucking amazing.
I know,
so
that's what I'm saying.
But no, the ratings.
Yeah.
It's the first time since cable's inception that a cable program has beat all three networks for a new episode.
Well, good.
The mid-season finale of The Walking Dead
yeah.
is the highest rated fictional TV program of all time right now.
Excellent.
That's never happened before. It's still not the highest rated TV program. Cause that, like, the Super Bowl where Aaron Rodgers won MVP a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's the highest rated TV broadcast of all time.
And I think the Super Bowl holds like the top five positions.
Yeah.
But for
fictional programming, The Walking Dead just beat the shit out of the four networks. And you don't get that too often.
It's about time. And you know, we've seen some shows in the past like Mad Men on AMC. No,
Mad Men's never been a big rater. Mad Men always got all the critical acclaim, but the ratings never really justified the amount of dick sucking that AMC gave that show.
But I mean, we've seen some highly rated cable shows before, none that have beat network.
Right. It's still technically network.
Well,
you remember The Dead Zone from the mid-2000s, the Michael Piller adaptation of the Stephen King novel?
Not really, honestly.
It starred Anthony Michael Hall. It was first two seasons were really goddamn good. Well, that was made for UPN.
Okay.
When UPN still existed.
Okay.
They passed on it. Then it was offered to the WB. They passed on it. Then USA picked it up. And it became the highest rated cable program of all time at that point. It still wasn't beating networks, but it was setting records across the board. You know, that little show nobody wanted. Clearly, there's an audience for it.
Clearly. And
then The Shield went and did the same thing. The Shield was smashing records back and forth, and now The Walking Dead has. I mean, hell, Walking Dead is so popular this year, right at when the season 2 finale happened, Dave at Powers Comics said, within 2 days, he saw 100 new customers he's never seen before come in and go, "Do you have Walking Dead comic books?" He said, "Some people, I just heard this was based on a comic book. You know, do you have it?" The show is so popular, it's bringing people into comic book stores that didn't even know it's a comic book.
Speaking of which,
something that's to be proud of, I
that
think.
That is. And it, well, you know me, anything that gets people reading again, period, whether it's comic books or... If you have an iPad, there's an app called Narrate.
To me, the funniest thing about the Walking Dead thing, though, is, hey, people, you that read the Walking Dead comic for coming from the show, massively different plots. See, holy crap, does the plots go in different directions?
Yeah, I started to read The Walking Dead when it first came out years ago, a few years ago, and. Unfortunately, I was reading a friend's copies and stuff happened and I no longer had access to that friend's copies.
Scott, you're allowed to punch me for what I'm about to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. I bought The Walking Dead starting from issue 1.
Okay.
It was new.
Okay.
I stopped at about issue 17.
Okay.
And I sold all those for about $2 a piece.
Bet you're kicking yourself now.
The first issue's worth almost $1,000 now.
I'll bet you're kicking yourself now.
It's one of those, you fucking, how am I ever fucking supposed to know this? God damn it!
This is why it's good to be a hoarder. Keep everything.
I wasn't enjoying the book anymore, and, you know, it held no value for me, and now I'm going, God fucking damn it!
See, I have to laugh at...
And you're totally allowed to laugh at me for that, because that was my stupid.
I'm going to laugh at you for that, because that was your stupid... It's like my mom sold my entire collection. I used to have a full collection of the Gen 1 Transformers. Every single one of them. Every single little 3-inch figure. All of them. Mom sold the whole thing for $10.
My mom did that to all my Star Wars figures from the 70s, you know?
Well, I also went into one of the pawn shops here in Green Bay to try and get some holiday money and stuff like that, and... deal with what's going on in my slow time at work. But I have sand paintings from Native American sand paintings.
Yeah, I've seen them.
You've seen them. You just looked at one prior to the show, actually. And the guy at the pawn shop, and I have my collection of Kachina dolls, too. And the guy at the pawn shop goes, "No, they've got no value. I can't even pawn them. They're not even worth it." And I did some research, and these happen to be Hopi Kachina dolls.
Excuse me.
And I found out that at least online, if I were to auction any of these off online, I've probably got about $20,000 sitting right there on my shelves. And with the sand paintings, which he told me had no value and that I may as well just throw away, they're worth about, well, the big one that you saw is worth about $3,500. And yet this is a guy who, I kid you not, after showing these to me, he looked at me and he goes, "Now, if you have any landscapes from Door County or something localized to Wisconsin, I might be able to talk to you."
Yeah, but you got to remember, value is in the eye of the beholder. It's only worth what somebody is willing to pay for it.
I know.
That's a whole different show, though.
Definitely.
Because I actually was thinking about that as a future topic.
We can, you know, we can do
about
that.
Just collectability of items.
Yeah, we can do that.
But then this year we also had, and we can't avoid this when we're doing a year wrap-up, the election. The election ate up a good goddamn chunk of this year. And I don't think there was ever any doubt, at least in my mind, that Obama was going to win. But keep in mind, I'm not an Obama backer. But there was no doubt. But there were a few dicey moments where it looked like the Republicans might have cheated to the level that they might have won on paper. And that did scare me just a little bit on just how much they may have cheated to try and win.
The political parties here in the U.S. anymore, any of them, and I think this year showed it more than any year in the past, and even during the Bush years. The truth is, this whole country is leaning more and more and more and more to the right, to the point that you've got Republicans that are way the hell off out there in the right, the Tea Party.
Yeah.
And you've got candidates.
Candidates?
Candidates. If I could, I've got something in my throat tonight. I've got candidates that are insane. I mean, Sarah,
there's no other way to put it. I mean, yeah. When you were on What the Fuck, we talked about the ones that thought God thought they should be president.
Yeah, I know. You've got people like Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin and
Michelle Bachmann
and this group of Republicans that are just frightening. And I look to the left to people like Obama and Biden and their whole crew, and I'm like, where are you? Because even Obama is too far right.
Yeah, the right has moved farther to the right, and the left has moved to the right that they've become center, so there's no real left anymore unless you want to start talking to the Alex Joneses. And,
yeah.
Because they are basically the left now.
Which is frightening because yes. They're the crazy left. And
they're the tinfoil hat people.
So, you know, I think this is why I think 2012... Man, I'm so sorry, everybody. I think 2012 showed that the U.S. is way the hell out of balance.
Oh, the U.S. is probably more divided now than it has been since
the beginning
of World War, since just prior to World War II, the U.S. entering World War II, I mean.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you, by the way. You've made this mistake on WTF more than once.
What I do not.
When you say that people signing petitions and looking for secession from the Union is a high treasonous crime,
okay,
it is not. They can talk about it. They can sign all the petitions they want. It is not a high treasonous crime until they take up arms. Luckily, most of the people that...
Most people are stupid.
...that are doing this are also going out and buying guns.
My point is just the idea of secession...
Yes.
...is... You know, if you're signing something, to me, you are actively participating in a secessionist act.
Yes.
You are calling for it. You are encouraging it.
And yes.
To me, there is no difference.
That is a crime. It is not a high treasonous crime. That is a crime. When you actively search for this stuff, it's going to put you on watch lists, but it is your right.
I'm already on watch
lists. It is your right under the First Amendment to... Talk about this all you want. It is your right to gather information about this all you want. It is your right to gather signatures and gather people around you all you want. All of that is under the First Amendment. It is not a high treasonous crime until you take up arms against the United States. Fortunately, there are a lot of wackos out there right now that are planning on taking up arms against the United States.
I actually want to see Obama get backed into that corner where he has to make a decision about... These wackos are actually trying to secede. We have to stop them, and they're not going to stop without a bullet through the face.
Oh, he won't be backed into a corner, and he won't be touched by it. It'll be the FBI and the CIA and the ATF. It'll be the ATF that steps in.
But it'll be his administration. It'll be his laws. It'll be his call, really, when you get down to it.
And frankly, we're going to have another Waco.
Oh, I absolutely see that. There are so many extremist groups. Like, you know, I'm writing that article for Hustler, and holy crap, I didn't know that Wisconsin had a good 2 dozen extremist groups in it.
Oh, yeah.
And not just white extremists. We're not just talking white supremacists. No. There are the black Muslim organizations. There's a new Black Panther Party based out of Milwaukee. And there's scary shit out there, people.
You've got the minority groups, so to speak, the minority extremist groups that are based in the urban cities, and then you've got the crazy ass white people that love the North Woods, man. They're out away from everybody.
You got a real purty mouth, boy. Squeal like a pig.
yeah. Well,
rednecks.
But yeah, we've divided this country over the past year, and you and I have seen a very unique insight of that. You obviously with the article you're writing for Hustler.
Yeah, I'm interviewing white supremacist groups right now. It's an area I wasn't so sure I wanted to dip my toe in, but got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you've seen this, I've seen this, and that's why I've said it on the show before. I thoroughly believe that there is going to be another something of a civil war.
At some point, I think it's unavoidable at this
point.
Like
I said, within the next, I said 50 years initially. I'm gonna break that down to 30.
I don't even think it'll take that long.
Probably not.
I really don't. Well, let's talk about something a little less divisive.
Sure.
Well, it actually is still just as divisive. The year in movies. Now, I'm talking like in theater new movies. It's been a pretty shitty year in movies, hasn't it?
There are those franchises that stand out. Like, I enjoyed the Avengers movies. I know you didn't. But I enjoyed them. I thought they were pretty good, but yeah, there's not been any movies that really just hit you right in the face. Now, one that I haven't seen yet that I'm looking forward to and that Dawn wants to see, and it's in the budget theater now, and we'll probably go see it, is that Les Misérables, because we love the musical. Ugh. And so, you know.
Well, I mean, you had pretty divisive movies come out this year. You had like Prometheus, which was probably the most divisive movie that came out in 2012, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a movie that, despite all its massive problems, I liked. I really did. I can't really explain it.
And I think you were in the minority. I mean, it did well enough. It was a commercial success, but I didn't really... You know, you didn't get the people coming out of the theater going, yeah, I can't wait till the next one. Yeah, woo. You know.
People coming out of the theater going, why did they do this? Yeah. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? What about this?
Yeah.
And that's not a... See, but to Damian Lindelof, that's what makes a good movie. Like I said, this is the same guy who, when he was writing for Lost, said, it's no fair to your audience to actually answer all the questions that you bring up. Whenever you answer a question, you need to bring up 5 new questions with that question. And because he's like, the audience has nothing to be invested in if you've answered all their questions. And you go, you are what is wrong with screenwriting, Lindelof. You fucking suck.
There comes a time in every story when you have to reach an end and when the questions have to be answered. And I think we saw that with the end of the Lost series.
As far as I'm concerned, that entire final season didn't happen. But to me, Lost ended with Juliet setting off the bomb in the 70s.
But what I'm saying is, you know, just the vitriol that came out of that episode, the end of the series.
Because it was such a fucking cop-out.
Yeah, it proves that questions have to be answered and answered well. You know, every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I don't, you know, if you're writing a book series and you've got a series of 30 books and you still have more story in you, keep going. But eventually, and please, authors, eventually you're going to have to answer all of the questions and bring an end to that story, because Otherwise, you end up with a lost ending that just kind of goes, okay, here's this. Meh.
Yeah, a cop-out.
Yeah.
And so you had Prometheus, you had the Avengers, which really was a bigger hit than I think even Disney anticipated it being. You had John Carter, which was a much bigger flop than anyone anticipated.
Right.
It's not an amazing film by any means, but
no.
It's not a bad... That film did not deserve to bomb the way it did.
Yes, it did.
I don't think it deserved to bomb the way it did.
Yes, it did.
Why?
It didn't hold true to the source material. Well, this was an adaptation. I've talked about this before. At the very core, if nothing else, you have to hold true to the spirit of your core material. And you've talked about this with Django and the new Django movie that's out. How it's not holding, you know, it's a good movie, shouldn't be Django.
Right, it just should be
that,
a black
that
Western.
That movie shouldn't have been John Carter. Should not have been John Carter from Mars. Didn't hold true. So it deserved to fail.
All right, well, and then you had the just seemingly unstoppable, despite being pointless, Paranormal Activity franchise.
Yeah.
That I've never liked these movies. I've never understood the allure of them. And good God, are you people stretching to keep this found footage thing going with Skype ghosts now?
I have laughed.
You are so stretching this shit now.
I have laughed at these Paranormal Activity movies, and I haven't. I paid to see the first one.
But Lionsgate loves them because they're cheap. I mean, they make each one of these for under $1 million, and they take in $40 million opening weekend. Yeah. These things are like printing fucking money for Lionsgate.
It's a shame because
and Lionsgate's in some bad financial straits. So right, there's a theory, and I mean by actual economists in the movie industry, that Paranormal Activity is the only thing keeping Lionsgate out of Chapter 11 right now.
That's a possibility. But, you know,
which means they're not letting this go.
As long as people keep going, they'll keep making them.
But see, that's the thing. Why do people keep going? I don't get that.
I have a theory on that, actually. And I don't think that outside of Paranormal Activity, it's hard to find original screenplays that aren't
Paranormal Activity are not original.
Okay.
I can't give you that because they are just knockoffs of a dozen different movies all kind of thrown together and gone, look, it's found footage, now it's original.
But they're not remakes of a given property. They're not relaunches. They're not needless sequels. Okay, yeah, they are needless sequels at this point.
Well,
but
and you get into that certain point where the franchise becomes the franchise, right, and it's no longer original, especially because every one of these follows the exact same formula as the previous film did, which followed the formula of the previous film and so on. That's not original. That's just throwing out another entry.
Okay, yeah, I see that, but
that's what the Saw movies did. The first one wasn't all that original, but it was unique for its time.
It was unique for its time, and I enjoyed the first Saw movie.
I thought the first three actually worked pretty decent. But again, the story was over at Saw 3. They closed it up, and it was meant to be the finale. Lionsgate said, fuck you. Each movie makes more money than the last. We're not stopping.
Yeah, we're going to make another trilogy with another character, basically. But yeah, I can see it. But I guess that's when it comes to movies and even TV shows, we're seeing it in now. 2012 was the year of the reboot.
Oh my God. Most of which didn't even make it past their second or third episode, like the Playboy Club. Technically isn't a reboot, but it's based on
another aspect of the 60s, which somebody watched an episode of Mad Men and went, wait a minute.
60s are hot.
Yeah, 60s are hot.
Well, and then you had Pan Am
and Playboy Club and
and then you had Charlie's Angels, which lasted 8 episodes, maybe?
Really? I didn't even see it.
The Charlie's Angels reboot lasted a few episodes and was gone.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
And, well, it's almost as bad as the Knight Rider reboot from a couple of years ago, I think. Whoa. Yeah, the one with Val Kilmer, that was just pathetic.
Yeah. Talk about holding true to the spirit of the show.
And TV, you saw Splinter even more in this last year. You saw all these network shows move to cable. Like, I was flipping channels the other day, and I remember when I seen previews for this on CBS. I didn't know the Ovation channel has new episodes of Australian Undercover Boss. What? You know, well, and then you've got Cajun Pawn Stars, and, you know, you've got Texas Storage Wars, and it's like, what the fuck? Does every region need its own version of their reality shows? What the fuck?
Yeah. Now, 2012 did give me some hope when it comes to the reality TV, because you did see some of those reality stars. There was a contestant that was on America's Got Talent. There was a couple of contestants on American Idol. You've got a few more. What was that one for Home and Garden? House Hunters? Yeah, you've got people on House Hunters finally saying, screw the contract. And they speak up and they go, look, reality TV is not reality.
No, not at all.
And I hope that this trend continues and we eventually get back to the good storytelling. That's one thing that 2012 did give me hope on. We didn't see, I think we're finally seeing the end of the reality TV boom.
I'm not sure, because it seems like there's, even in 2012, there was more than there was ever before. I don't see this as a beast that's going to be slain easily.
No, not easily, but I think it's starting to. I mean, you know, the things that we've talked about are great fiction. Walking Dead, Mad Men, plenty of these others that
Sons
have come
out. Sons
of Anarchy, Justified, trying to, you know, we've seen these good works of fiction finally try and stand up a little bit against this reality monstrosity of cheap TV with celebrities that we can.
I call those celebutards.
Yeah, you know, and trust me, if any word is in quotes ever, celebrities is in quotes.
Yeah. Dude, there was somebody on my Facebook that called me an internet celebrity. And I'm like, whoa, dude, you are way the fuck off. You know, no, not even close, dude.
Brad Jones, internet celebrity.
Brad Jones, yes, absolutely.
Josh Hadley.
No, not so much.
Loser.
I am the movie devil, actually.
Yeah, the movie devil. There we go.
But you also saw music, I think, was worse than it's ever been. I mean, you had all these older bands releasing new albums this year that were, I actually think an old man screaming into a microphone would have sold better. Aerosmith's new album was embarrassing. You're not even pretending to be Aerosmith anymore, people. Just give up. There comes to a point where you don't have it anymore. Like, Hunter Thompson saw that before he committed suicide. He said he no longer was able to write like Hunter Thompson. Aerosmith, you're not Aerosmith anymore. Just quit. And I know that's arrogant of us to say, stop when you're over the hill. But my God, that was a pathetic cash grabs. The only way I can put it is they were trying to cash off their name.
Now, what about the Stones? I mean, this was their 50th year.
I've never been a Rolling Stone fan to begin with.
I haven't either, but I got to hand it to them, at least from people that I've talked to that have been to Stone shows, they say that they still have it.
And I haven't heard this one yet, and I don't really want to, considering I really, absolutely, and vehemently dislike this woman's ideal of what music is. I heard Yoko Ono put out a new album this year. I haven't heard it, but if my God, Yoko, just no. Just Yoko, quit. Talk about only being famous for who you knew. The Kevin Smith syndrome. Only reason anyone knows Yoko Ono. is because John Lennon obviously had a brain tumor when he met her and didn't slap her in the face and walk away. You know, Mark David Chapman, fucking four shots in Lennon's chest and you couldn't hit Yoko once. What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Oh, his sights were off, obviously.
Yeah. I still have this theory that he was trying to get Yoko. And I'm going to take shit over that comment, but I don't care.
No, it's okay. Frankly, I've heard Yoko Ono sing. And she's very strange. And I've seen her art installments. Well, the last time I visited New York, she had an installment up at MoMA. I've never understood what she does. Yeah, and okay, good, hurrah, go Yoko.
Well, and then you've also got, you saw this weird sea change in music, and I hope this is an indicator of the future, but I really doubt it. I don't remember what the award show was, but Justin Bieber came on and he was booed. Okay. And I'm like, yes. And then Gordon Lightfoot came on and they cheered for him. That says something to me. See, you people were rejecting Justin Bieber and embracing Gordon Lightfoot. That says maybe we're actually getting our musical priorities straight, but then Rebecca Black happened and now that new one, have you heard Thanksgiving?
No.
It's by the same, they keep calling him genius. I mean, I keep seeing this, the genius behind Rebecca Black has a new one and she's got a song for Thanksgiving that was Friday with new lyrics. That's really what it was. I'll show it to you after the show. It's horrifying.
I see music, and of course, 2012, here in the States, we saw the rise of dubstep. Dubstep has been around over across the pond since, well, I think it really got its start around 2008, 2009, and I could be wrong there, but 2012 was the year that it really made a splash in the U.S.
I believe Charlie McMullen summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
Dubstep is a hate crime.
Okay. But
it's a hate crime against music.
This is where I see music in the U.S. going. We're obviously always going to have all these different genres, and classical will always be around there. We'll always be classical writers and producers, and the orchestral music will always be here and about. Country music will always be around. It is way too popular. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of country. We've seen it bleeding over into pop.
I don't get back when I worked at the radio station. You had that crossover country.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Faith Hill can sing and she's really cute.
There are some.
She's not country. Yeah. She's fucking pop. Shania Twain is pop. Yeah. That's not country.
Right. I mean, it's pop with a southern accent.
But I don't understand how that's called country music. It's like no, you're. That's not country.
But
music.
That will always be around. I've lived in the South. I've lived in areas where you could either listen to the country station or the Western station. They played both types of music. but so, you know, we're always going to have those subgenres. But I think when it comes to pop music in the U.S., I think this is where we're going to start to see the split. I think you're going to have your, for lack of a better word, I'll say traditional musician pop stuff.
Like the Justin Biebers?
Avril Lavigne, Justin Bieber, you know, they can at least pick up and act like they're strumming a guitar.
Okay.
And there are some pop artists out there that are amazingly talented. And you're going to have your guitar, bass, drums, and keyboard, and there's your band. I think that this is where the sea change that we've seen is the split. I think we're going to end up with a rather strong electronic pop, for lack of a better. It's not always going to be dubstep. It's not always going to be that club sound.
I see where you're going with this. And I think what you're talking about is just an extension of what the early 80s tried to do with all the Casio and
with the new wave stuff.
With new wave. This is kind of new wave.
Yeah, this is,
at least that's the where I'm seeing it.
New electronica, for lack of a better thing.
And it, because like the way you described it, that just made me think of, is this 1983 again? Because
I think 2012 was the start of people taking this new type of electronic and some new instruments that we hadn't heard before, like the wub wub bass in dubstep. They're playing with sound. And I think 2012 was the first year where we've seen people really play with some brand new sounds that we haven't heard since the 80s. I mean, the 80s, you saw the switch with new wave to keyboards, and you know,
the keytar,
the Moog came in, and Casio came in, and all of this stuff really kind of found its own in the 80s. Well, I think now we're seeing a new type of electronic with the computer edited stuff, with the slowed down stuff, with the new ways that we can play with sound. And I think that started now in 2012. And I think we're going to see that kind of a movement grow until about 2015, when it dies off and people discover instruments again.
Well, since we've only got 10 minutes left, this year was also the year of, well, I mean, this has always been there, but I noticed it more in 2012. Was the year of people falling for fake news.
Oh, yeah.
The internet, I don't know. I mean, you actually saw news, like broadcasts on TV, reporting as fact things that were clear hoaxes. And then, you know, we're sorry. But, you know, I've never seen so many people fall for fake news. That Facebook copyright status thing is a perfect example.
The Facebook copyright, well, all the stuff on Facebook, really. Make Facebook pink.
What?
You haven't seen that?
No, that one I missed.
That's another one. All you have to do is click here and install this app, and it'll make Facebook pink instead of blue, and blah, 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 blah. Or the like or comment, you know, and if I win the lottery, I'll give a random person $1 million and that kind of stuff. I've seen that. There's this website called Snopes.com. It's not the best debunking website out there, but it's a good starting point.
Well, and then, the other thing we got to talk about, video games. To me, really kind of a lackluster year.
It was a meh year. We didn't really have any games.
I mean, there was the Mass Effect 3 Fallout, which, you know, to me killed the franchise. But then, to me, what says just how far the gaming industry fell in this last year was Halo 4. It's not a bad game, but what the fuck happened to the Halo franchise that up until the release, I mean, you had all these nerd websites and that were like, oh, yeah, that comes out next week. I guess Halo 4 is still a thing. You know, Halo 3, massive media campaign. Yeah. Halo ODST, massive media campaign. Halo Reach, massive media campaign. Halo 4, oh, yeah, Halo 4 is coming out too. You know, it was like, you know, Microsoft, did you forget to advertise this? What, you know, I'm a Halo fan, and I almost forgot that the fucking game came out.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any real standout games either. I mean, yeah, people are going, dude, we have Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and blah, blah, blah. And this,
everything's
and
the, a and sequel. The new
Assassin's Creed and everything. I always look for are the original IPs, the original intellectual properties that come out, and I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Well, or if you do, they're like, because you can tell by the advertising. If you like Skyrim, you'll like this. Yeah. So it's a Skyrim clone, okay.
However, there the indie games, I did see a couple of good ones come out this year. Fez, if you happen to be in the mood to pick up something off of the Xbox.
Well,
I don't
I
know
mean,
if it's on three on PlayStation or not.
You've lost something this last year, well, the last half decade actually in gaming, that very few games have been able to live up to, and that is absolute fun. Just the idea of fun. Not a great story or a great shooter or a great playing game. Fun. I know you didn't like the game, but I think Saints Row the Third is the first game in a long time that understood what just fucking about and having fun in a game was.
Yeah, it wasn't a game for me, but I definitely see your point.
And I can't think of a single game in 2012 that had that same kind of, let's just have fun, that Saints Row the Third did.
Yeah, I'm certainly open to...
batshit insane game that I can't think of any right now. I really can't.
The Lego games.
Never been a fan of the Lego games. Really? I've never gotten into those.
Those I have had fun with. Those I have a good time, because really you can't take them all that seriously.
But again, they're just sequels, you know, Batman Lego, Indiana Jones Lego, Star Wars Lego. They're just more installments of whatever franchise they're Legoing.
Yeah, some of them. There have been some improvements.
You know.
Some
and
changes.
But to me, this has just been a real lackluster year in gaming.
Yeah.
Every big title that's come out is a sequel or part of an already existing franchise. Like you said, where are...
The original IPs. Games.
Yeah. The new by, as in new. This is something different.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those?
Tim Schafer, where are you when we need you?
You know, we know, like in 2013, there's going to be a new Call of Duty. There's going to be a new Medal of Honor.
New Madden.
There's going to be a new Madden. You know there's going to be expansions for Halo, expansions for Skyrim. It's like, oh my God, it's the same shit over and over and over again. I mean, I dread that you do something different with any of these franchises. Like, Halo ODST tried something different with that franchise. ODST, you're not playing a Spartan. So and not only are all the buttons different because you're playing a different type of character.
Right.
You have to play that game totally differently than you would as a Spartan.
Well, sure.
Because you can't take the damage you could. You know, the ODST required you to be stealthy, pick your shots. As a Spartan, you just run out and you can become a bullet sponge. You know, ODST, they at least tried to, sticking with the first-person shooter thing, tried to say, we want to force you to play this game differently than you would otherwise.
That has always confused me about first-person shooters. I can take 40 shots to the chest.
And all you get is the red jelly on the screen.
No, and you get the red jelly on the screen, but one knife swipe and you're dead.
It's called an assassination, motherfucker. See, at least with the Halo games, when you're playing a Spartan, you have shields. So I understand that. You know, once your shields drop, then it's usually one hit and you're dead.
Right.
So, okay, fair enough. When you've got, you know, your shields are going down, not your actual health.
Right.
Fair enough. But yeah, like the Call of Duty things. I'm in Vietnam, and I just been shot with a machine gun 9 times, but if I hide behind this log long enough, I'm fine.
Yeah.
No. Fuck you. That's stupid. Yeah, so well, what it comes down to is this was just a...
It was a meh year in video games, and there's really no other
way. This is a meh year in everything to me.
Okay.
You know, to me, I mean, our show sucked harder in this year than it's ever sucked before, I think.
I know. God, I'm sorry. That's my fault.
It is.
No. Dick, you're supposed to stand up and defend me. But you're like, no, throw him under the bus. Fuck it.
I'm going to back this bitch up a couple of times, too. Everything that went wrong, Scott's fault.
Completely my fault.
But hey, like you said, you're supposed to be the reasonable one. I'm the crazy one.
Yeah. There is no supposed to be. I am the reasonable one. You are the crazy one.
I was going
to
say, this is how we are exactly. When we're off the air, too. I am this nuts normally.
You know,
aren't I?
Okay, so we've got a minute tops. Listen, for 2013, one of the hopes that I have, and I hope you share this, is that we finally get a chance to break out from this studio with Lost in the Static. If anyone has any cons this year that you'd like us to come visit and they're willing to put us up in a hotel room, I'll bring the recording rig.
No, bitch, we need a reality show.
About
us going around the country and recording these at various places in front of live audiences.
See, that would be awesome. I don't know how to do that. I'm going to start with the reasonable request. If you want us at a con and they're willing to put us up.
Reasonable.
I know. And they're willing to put us up, we'll come. Just let us know. You know, request us to the people that run it. And yeah, we'd love to be there. So in the last 30 seconds, Josh, anything else to say? Very good.
That is my impression of the Republican voter in 2012.
Very good. Thank you for sticking with us for another year. I know that 2013 ought to be some very stop it.
Getting annoying?
Well, you're not a Tibetan throat singer.
No, I'm a Republican voter in Merca 2012, bitch.
Bye, everybody.